to Prairie Craft Almanac, a podcast exploring craft, nature, sustainability, and simple creative living. I'm your host, Leanne, and today I'm talking a bit about spoonflower and maybe thinking about fall. Stay tuned. Hey there. How are you doing today? I hope you are well. I'm late with the podcast. Are you shocked? No? Okay, I didn't think so. We are coming toward the end of the dog days of summer, and right now I'm looking out my window and it is raining and cloudy out and just really lovely lately. So that's good. Kansas heat can sometimes stay around well into October, but it's been pretty nice the last couple of days, so I'm not complaining. Actually, I'm really proud of myself right now. The thing is, I don't always get around to actually planting a fall garden. That may be a shock to some of you who know me, but then again, maybe it isn't. But normally what happens each year is that I'm so exhausted from all my spring and summer gardening that I don't think about or feel much like planting a fall garden. If I do any, it's usually not very much. But this year, I am making a conscious effort to make sure we have more fresh produce once it starts to get cooler. So far, I've planted more beets and carrots, parsnips, butternut squash, and even some cucumbers. I'm not sure that the cucumbers will make fruit in time, but I'm counting this as kind of an experiment. I also hope to start some Brussels sprouts indoors today. I'm pretty excited about those because I never have any success with them in the spring, but I think the trick might be to grow them in the fall, so we will see how that works out. Around mid-August, I should be planting some turnips and radishes, and maybe around that time, maybe a little later, I will also do some greens like spinach or some Swiss chard maybe. The rest of the garden that we have planted and growing right now looks pretty good. I probably need to do a blog post or vlog or document that somehow because I always don't do that and I really need to get my act together, hopefully before the season is over, but I will save that discussion for another day. So I have a few ideas for some new fabric designs, which I'd like to have printed soon by Spoonflower. I don't know when this will be, but hopefully before fall. And I have been seeing some questions about Spoonflower from people who are just discovering the company. I've used their services quite a bit, in addition to selling some of my own original designs on their site. So I wanted to offer up a few tips if you are thinking about purchasing from Spoonflower but aren't sure. Now, if you are not familiar with Spoonflower.com, this is a print-on-demand company that specializes in quite a range of fabric and also papers like wrapping paper and wallpaper. You can purchase fabric designs that are created by independent designers, or you can purchase your own designs and then sell those as well. It doesn't cost anything to have a shop on Spoonflower, as they print and handle and ship the fabric for you. But of course, the seller does receive a really small percentage of the total sale, and that can be used either on the site or you can get paid through, I believe, PayPal. I'm not sure if there are other options. I haven't honestly looked lately. But in order to sell a design, you have to purchase that design yourself first, even if it's just a small swatch, in order to make sure that the print turns out the way you want it to. Whether you want to order your own fabric or buy someone else's, I would strongly recommend purchasing their sample pack. It is only $3, that includes shipping, at least to the US, and you will receive a swatch of every single one of their fabrics and papers in a really lovely little box. And each fabric has a grid of colors and their numerical hex color code printed on them, so you can see how a color translates from your computer monitor to the actual printed fabric. It is so worth the very small investment of $3 when you consider that Spoonflower fabrics are somewhat understandably a little pricier than what you might buy at Joann's, and it takes pretty much all of the guesswork out of it if you purchase those samples and are able to look at those and feel those. Another thing I want to address is the size of the fabric prints as displayed in the search results on the website. When considering a fabric design that you didn't create yourself, you're going to want to pay attention to the ruler that's displayed at the top and left sides of the first photo in the fabric listing. This is because when a designer is setting up a listing, they can choose which size their fabric displays at, whether they want to show a swatch, a fat quarter, or a yard within the thumbnail of the search results. Honestly, this is something I still need to adjust within my own shop, but because of this, it means there's a lot of inconsistency in the search results. And the thing is, even if I were to adjust it so that all of my own listings were consistent, if my fabric comes up in the search alongside another seller's fabric and they have a different display ratio, it's still very confusing. Depending on what size the designer chose to display their fabric, a tiny print might end up looking larger than the large print that comes up next to it in the search results. So again, to know exactly how big your fabric print will be displayed in real life, be sure to check the rulers at the top and left of the first photo in the listing once you click on that fabric listing. The last thing I wanted to talk about today regarding Spoonflower is that you can actually get several different prints printed onto 1 or 2 yards of fabric. Now, I actually made a video about that, and that goes into a little more detail, so I will be sure to link to that video in the show notes or video description. But here's the thing. You can actually purchase Spoonflower fabric by the yard, fat quarter, or swatch. But the smaller your increment of fabric, the more it costs per square inch. So if you're interested in several different prints, but in smaller amounts of fabric, and you don't want to purchase swatches or fat quarters because they're a little more money, you can create a fill-a-yard project or what's called a cheater quilt. There are several ways that these can be configured, but the one limitation to keep in mind is that your print choices have to be found within the same collection on Spoonflower. Collections are groups of print designs that are curated by the designer who creates them. So as far as I know at the moment, you wouldn't be able to create a fill-a-yard project with patterns from different artists. Again, I explained this a little more in my video, so I will be sure to include a link to that. Are you an ant or a grasshopper? For better or worse, I think I've always been more of a grasshopper. But I am trying to change that. As I mentioned earlier, I'm putting a little more effort into the fall garden this year so that ideally we'll have lots of yummy, fresh things to eat as winter approaches. While I love autumn, I also start to feel so much anxiety around that time of year, especially into winter, and I know that's the case for a lot of people. And I really don't want to be pessimistic, but with the way things are going right now, I guess I'll just say I feel that this winter has the potential to maybe not be the best winter ever. I don't know. I hope that's not the case, but it doesn't hurt to be prepared. So I have been thinking some about how to prepare for what is generally a darker time, literally, if not figuratively speaking. I've been thinking about how I might bring more light and warmth and comfort to this winter. Again, literally, if not figuratively. But I hope that by sharing my plans, it will inspire you, even if in just a small way, to get started on some cozy fall preparations if you haven't already. I'm thinking about quilts and pillows and comfy linens. As it seems, I am perpetually on a quest to use up my scrap fabric. I've already started another bubbly quilt, a puff quilt, if you will. It's going to be pretty much like the one I made for my tutorial video, if you've seen that. If you haven't, I will include a link in the show notes. But this time I'm using squares instead of hexagons. If you are not familiar with bubble quilts or puff quilts, they go something like this. Or at least this is how my current one is going. You can make them in a number of different sizes and shapes and patterns, but right now I am starting with 4-inch squares of muslin fabric. These will be used for the fabric on the underside, which will eventually end up on the inside of the quilt because I'm going to use something else for the bottom lining. Anyway, I start with my 4-inch square of muslin. Then I take my decorative fabric that will be on the top of the quilt And I cut a square from that that is a little larger than the 4 inches, either 4.5 inches or 5 inches or somewhere along those lines. It does not have to be precise for this. I based the larger squares to the smaller squares around the edges. And of course, because the edges are not the same size, I gather the edges of the top square so that it ends up being the same length of the smaller square's edges. And when you do this, you will notice that it creates a bubbly or puffy texture. And before stitching the last edge shut, I put a bit of fiberfill stuffing between the squares. Once I have all my squares done, I will then piece them together, and then again, I'm going to put a bottom lining on my quilt, and then put a bias binding around that. I just love these types of quilts because they're not only easy to make and very forgiving, but they are also so comforting and cozy and squishy. I've seen people make these types of quilts and use a lot of stuffing so that the bubble part is really, really plush and almost firm. But for this, I'm using a really scant amount of stuffing, just enough to kind of create a bit of squish and softness and insulation. If you are in search of some visual inspiration, I have a new term for you. Just Google or hit up Pinterest for the word cottagecore. I am so in love with this new style, but actually it's not really a new style. It's kind of timeless and honestly the look that I've always loved. It's just that I've recently learned that this is a name for it. Other names for similar styles include farmcore, honeycore, and the list goes on. But essentially, cottagecore is an aesthetic inspired by bucolic rustic living with an emphasis on things like baking and cooking, sewing, knitting, embroidery, and other domestic art. It's a romanticized vision of agricultural life, and the clothing styles associated with cottagecore usually involve lace and ruffles, flowing dresses and aprons, with popular motifs including flowers, insects, mushrooms, and of course, animal friends. Like I said, it's something I have always loved, but now I know what to call it. I'm kind of excited to see this style becoming so popular. And I feel like cottagecore inherently has a very autumnal feel to it, so I'm really obsessed with it at the moment. Have you seen cottagecore around the internet? What do you think about it? If you are a fellow fan and have any great places to get cottagecore inspiration, whether it's a blog or a board on Pinterest, let me know. I'm currently working on a dress design right now that has the potential to be very cottagecore. Up until now, all my tutorial videos on YouTube have been for smaller projects or accessories, and I really, really hope to start making tutorial videos for garments, and hopefully this would eventually be one of those projects if I ever get around to doing that. Is it way too early to be thinking about fall? What's on your mind right now? In addition to sewing and getting the garden in order, and also collecting recipes for yummy baked goods, I'm trying to clean up my indoor spaces. Oh my goodness. It's a never-ending battle, especially when you live in a small house and have so many hobbies and interests. But seriously, I hope to get rid of some things and get better organized before cooler weather comes. Or not. We'll just have to wait and see. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today on this episode of Prairie Craft Almanac. It seriously means so much to me. I will try my best to get next month's episode out in a more timely manner. If you're new here and you enjoy the show, be sure to check out some of my other episodes. If you enjoy it, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to look for my YouTube channel, Moth and Rust DIY. That's where I share tutorial videos and more. Don't ever hesitate to reach out to me with any questions or comments or honestly anything. If you follow me on Instagram, seriously, send me a message and let me know how you found me, if it was through this show or somewhere else. You can contact me through my website at mothandrustdiy.com, where you can also find free patterns, tutorials, and a lot more. That's where I blog. You can also follow me on Facebook. I will link to all my social profiles and website and everything in the show notes or video description, depending on where you're listening to this. And if you are interested in supporting me and the show, Be sure to check out any of my shop links in the description. My Etsy shop is mothandrusthandmade.etsy.com, where I sell my original designs, which are usually one-of-a-kind or custom-made. Again, thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you next time. Thank you very much to Jay Someday for letting me use their music in this podcast. Be sure to check them out at soundcloud.com/jaysomeday. That's J-A-Y-S-O-M-E-D-A-Y.